I love to hear the voices of babies, amen? That means there will be people for next generation's church, and I'm thankful for that. I am thankful for little ones and their little voices. I'm thankful for you today, too. I'm glad that you have come to worship with us. Let's continue our worship with a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for life. And I know, and you know, that life is very hard sometimes. But I thank you, Father, that through it all, we can call on you, we can trust you, we can surrender to you and allow you to carry us and lead us through life. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you invite us as individuals to come to you by faith. I thank you that you invite us to that spiritual rebirth when we become your sons and daughters. I thank you, Father, for your Spirit who helps us in life. I thank you, Father, for every person here. You know us by name. You know our yesterdays. You know our tomorrows. You know the mountaintop joyous experiences that some are experiencing right now. You know the valleys of despair that some are experiencing. You know all of this. And I pray that you would minister to each and every one. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to our hearts this morning as we have come to worship you. We've already lifted our voices in song to you. We invite your Spirit's leading and presence. And we invite you to speak to our hearts and to our ears this morning. I do pray, Father, for those other churches in our area, in our state, in our nation, that we would be led by the Holy Spirit of God, and we would come together with one purpose, that is to worship you, our Heavenly Father. I pray for those that couldn't come to church this morning, and I pray that you would be with them right where they're at. It's quite possible, Father, that some who have been with us in the last month are in jail. We pray for them today. It is possible and very probable that some are in hospitals, some are in care centers, some are looking at surgery, some have had surgery. We pray for each and every one and ask by your divine goodness and grace that you would be with each and every one, that you would continue drawing people to yourself by your Spirit, and we would take that final step of faith and surrender completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I ask that you would lead us by your Spirit in our worship here today. Thank you for the teachers that teach in all ages in the other building. Be with them. Be with us. Guide us by your Spirit as we have come to worship you and to hear from you. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, most of you know that we have been in this series for some time. I have called Follow Me. But as I was contemplating over the last week or two, we have journeyed together through this series for a couple of months now. And I don't know if it was from the Lord or something somebody said, but it came to my attention or came to my mind that perhaps I needed to take a step back and look at the idea of how do I become a follower of Jesus in the first place. And so even though we've been talking about this bidding, this invitation from Jesus to humanity, to you, to I, to us, to follow him, it occurred to me that maybe I need to step back, start at the beginning, and help us understand how do I even start. So if you've got your Bible, I'm in John chapter 3. Now, the first thing that comes to our mind, at least I assume it will come to your mind, is John 3:16, which is a wonderful verse. We all should know that. We all know of its beauty and its truth. And I might get to John 3:16, but I might not. I'm going to start at the first verse. And so if you've got your Bible, I want to invite you there. I love this story. I love its relevance. I believe it's necessary. And I believe in some cases neglected. And so as I go through this John chapter 3, at least a few verses at the beginning part of it, I want to call our attention to this whole idea of following Jesus, not mechanically, but by the Spirit of the living God. So here we go, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Let me say this just a little bit about Nicodemus. We know from what we read here, Nicodemus was a religious guy. Okay? He would have been looked at as he would have been looked at from the people as a person with the religious answers, the knowledge, the wherewithal, the insight. And apparently he'd been having some conversation with other of the religious types, the Pharisee types, the rulers of the Jew types, because he said, "We know that you are a teacher come from God, because we just observe what you're doing, we listen to what you're saying, and we see and know that somebody that is saying and doing what you're doing must be from God." And so I think, more than anything else, Nicodemus came to Jesus that night with a curiosity and a question: "Who are you?" And I believe, friends, at some point in our life, and many of you have crossed this bridge a long time ago, we have to ask the same question, and we have to respond to that question: "Who are you, Lord?" Remember Saul on the way to Damascus? No. Well, I don't have time to tell you that story. Acts, Saul was going to Damascus to persecute Christians, to take them in chains back to Jerusalem, because Saul was also a Pharisee. He was against the ways of Jesus, and he was going to imprison followers of Jesus, and the bright light from heaven shone him and knocked him to the ground. He lost his sight. Remember now? Some of you remember. This means yes, I remember. This means no, I'm not sure what you're talking about. The bright light struck him down, and he said, the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Remember what Saul said? "Who are you, Lord?" I believe that's how Nicodemus came to Jesus that night, wondering, "Who in the world are you?" And so he comes with this wondering, and I love the response of Jesus, because it's not necessarily, certainly not what Nicodemus expected. It's not necessarily addressing what he said. "You are a person come from God." We know that. But he addresses a much deeper need of the religious guy. And Jesus said in verse 3, after he said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Nicodemus didn't get that at all. We're going to see that. But Jesus was addressing a deep spiritual need that has to be addressed by every individual if we are ever going to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is wondering at this point, "What in the world The only thing about being born he can recall is from when he was a baby. And so he responds, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Because after all, Jesus said, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus elaborates on what he said. He addresses the physical aspect of being born, and he addresses the spiritual aspect of being reborn that every one of us needs. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water, he's going to address that when he says flesh of flesh in a minute, and the Spirit, that means born twice, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's telling this, remember, to somebody that should be in the know. He's telling this to somebody that would be an instructor of other people. And Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh, like you are, Nicodemus, and every one of us, because we're here today, we've been born of the flesh. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell from where it comes and where it goes. So everyone who is born of the Spirit, by this time Nicodemus is completely baffled and says, how can these things be? And so over the course of the next verses, 10 through 21, which I'm not going to read for you, I think you know them. They're very good verses. Jesus continues to elaborate on himself, talking about as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He's referring to that time. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. And twice he says in there in verses 15 and 16 about believing on the Son of God for who he said he was, Savior and Messiah. And so he elaborates further in 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And all of this is elaborating on who he is. And so Jesus had a lot to say, all based on the statement from Nicodemus said, we know that you're a teacher come from God. And Jesus addresses that spiritual need that every one of us has to address at some point if we're going to be part of the kingdom of God. And I'll emphasize this more in a few minutes, but this is not, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, this is not about religious or religion. He had the religion. He had the title. He had the position in the church. And Jesus comes to him subtly but truthfully and says to him, Nicodemus, unless you are born of the Spirit, all your titles, all your positions, all your check marks down at the local synagogue mean nothing until you have been born the second time. That is born of the Spirit. That's what Jesus was telling the religious guy. Now, I asked the service earlier, the friends here on the earlier service, to think back in your memory. Some of you weren't here, so you get a pass. But on Easter a year ago, I spoke about life and death, and I said this, you see if you remember, if we are born once, we will die twice. If we are born twice, we will die once. Do you remember that, brothers and sisters? Some of you do. Some of you are like me and you can't remember yesterday's breakfast. But I mentioned that on Easter a year ago, and that's what Jesus is saying here. Nicodemus, you have been born of the flesh. But until you are born a second time of the Spirit, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you've only been born once, according to Revelation 21 and 8, you can look at there. If we have never been born of the Spirit, we will all die eventually. We will go to the ground, and someday, according to Revelation, with the ground, the sea, the earth will give up their dead, and those that haven't been born that second time will stand before Almighty God, Revelation 21, 8, the Bible says it'll give up their dead, and it says at that point pronouncement will happen, and in that pronouncement God will say to those, your place is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The Bible says this is the second death, which means eternal separation from God. If I was only born once, I am going to die twice. If I was born twice, I will only die once. I say, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be born a second time to live forever with Him and not apart from Him eternally. That's what He's telling Nicodemus. Until you're born the second time, Nicodemus, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. This is not about signing up for church membership. Charles mentioned we're going to welcome some church members next week. That's fun. But it's not church membership that helps gets us to be born again. That is a spiritual rebirth. We're going to baptize some folks down at the river. That's always fun. Some people think I have way too much fun doing that. But that is fun. And it isn't baptism that gets us to heaven. It is being spiritually reborn. Doesn't matter if we're 80 and we've been in church our whole lives. If we've never been spiritually reborn, Jesus said to this guy who had all the credentials, unless you're born again, Nicodemus, you will never see nor enter the kingdom of heaven. Now let me just say this about Nicodemus. I conclude from this conversation between the religious fellow and the Son of God, being religious, having a religious position, or a religious title is not what Jesus is looking for. Are you still with me? Now, not that those are bad in themselves. I mean, God has called some of us to be pastors, some to be Sunday school teachers, some to be deacons and priests and whatever else He calls us to. But if that's what our faith is in, we'll never see the kingdom of God. Because Nicodemus had the stuff that earth puts and we humans put our stock in. He had the title, he had the position, he had even had the clothes and the phylacteries and the turban. But I quickly conclude from this dialogue between Jesus and this guy that everybody would have looked to as the guy, the religious one. Jesus said to him, clearly, unless you're born the second time, all that means nothing. Titles, positions in church means nothing unless you're born the second time. And so it's natural for Nicodemus and for us to say, how does that happen? And I thought it necessary today to insert this in the series, Follow Me, because we cannot follow Jesus unless we've been born again. Oh, we can go through the mechanics. People are doing it all the time. Nicodemus was doing it. He was going through the religious mechanics. And he wasn't born again. He wasn't right with God. In this conversation, I see Jesus throwing out all the religious thinking of the day. Is it good to obey? Of course. But if I'm just going through the religious mechanics of stuff, I am missing completely the spiritual connection with God through faith in the Son by the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. Every one of us needs that. Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I believe among everything that he was telling Nicodemus, he was saying, don't assume your religion is the answer. I'm not taking away from any denomination. I'm taking away from religious activity that assumes that is our shoe-in to the kingdom of God, because Jesus said it's not. He's talking to Nicodemus about being born twice. He's already been born of the flesh. And now he's talking to him about being born of the Spirit. You see, Jesus knew what he needed. He knew he needed the thinking going on in his mind about Mosaic law and obedience and phylacteries and getting to the synagogue and fasting. All of that is fine. But if you haven't been born again, all of that is meaningless. And so Jesus knew Nicodemus's need, and he addresses his need. What do I draw from this? I draw from this. There are people sitting in churches and out with titles, with positions, with status, with authority, not ready for heaven. Now you're going to say, Jim, that's a little judgmental, isn't it? I'm saying what Jesus said. He's talking to the religious guy of the day. And I'm saying that even if I'm a pastor leading the congregation from the pulpit, if I haven't been born of God, I'm still missing the most important factor. Pastor, priest, deacon, Sunday school teacher, it doesn't matter. If I haven't been born of God, I know pastors, Charles knows pastors, Sherry knows Sunday school teachers, Marie knows people that had titles that were not born again and came to the place where they realized, I have a spiritual need that has never been met. I have not been born again. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I am trying to help us be aware, friends, the second birth is absolutely necessary for all of us if we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is absolutely necessary for all of us. Let me move along because time is moving along. How many heard of John Wesley? Some of you. John Wesley is the founder of Methodism back in the 1700s. I didn't grow up in the Methodist Church, and so I really didn't know who John Wesley was either. But I, over the course of ordination process and Charles and Marie and Dale and Jennifer and a lot of us that have go through that process that weren't part of the Free Methodist Church, we kind of learned who John Wesley is. And let me just say this about John Wesley. John Wesley was a man used by God. 1700s. He was a man used by God in such powerful ways. He would speak to crowds out in the open air, down at near the local pub, or from a headstone in a graveyard to thousands of people, and tens of thousands over the course of his ministry were born again. John Wesley was one that would say on a very regular basis, because he was moving all over England, he preached 45,000 times. Now, you can do the math, and you can quickly realize that's not one time a week. 45,000 sermons. He rode 250,000 miles on a horseback, getting to the next place that he would preach at, and he might preach 3-4 times on a day, and it might be on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. My point is this: he was a man used by God. But there was a time in John Wesley's life when he was not a lot different than Nicodemus. He had been brought up in the Church of England at the time, instructed in the ways, and was going through the mechanics of religion and not understanding the spiritual rebirth. He was leading the Holy Club at Oxford University. You can Google that and read about that. If you have a curious mind like I do, you just want to learn these things. And you can learn about how he was a missionary from England to America. He came across by ship, 1700s, remember. He was supposed to be a missionary to the Native Americans in the Georgia, North and South Carolina areas. That trip did not go well. Didn't go well at all. Very legalistic. The long and the short of it is, in his trip back to England, he was on board a ship, and you can envision a ship crossing the Atlantic in 1730, and the wind and the waves were, let's say, tempestuous. They were about to overcome the ship. And Wesley was in absolute fear of dying at the sea, at the hands of the sea. And yet in this ship, there were some Moravian believers who sat there seemingly cool as a cucumber. No worries. If we die, we're going to be with Jesus. And in his curiosity, he wanted to know what made these people tick. We're about to die. And they don't seem to have any fear or any worries or anything else. And so he began this friendship with some Moravian believers. And the long and the short of it, as afterwards, they're in England sometime later, he goes on a Sunday evening to listen to a Moravian pastor. And this Moravian pastor is expounding on Martin Luther's teaching, Martin Luther's commentary on the book of Romans. You know the book of Romans. You're talking about the law. You're talking about grace and these kinds of things. And Wesley was sitting there pondering what was said by the Moravian pastor through the teaching of Martin Luther from the word of Romans. And he pondered this whole grace thing, this whole works thing. He pondered this whole relationship with Jesus where this peace just floods over you. Even if you're in a ship and about to die, you don't seem to care. And he said he recognized he had some things out of order, out of sorts. And he allowed himself to experience the grace of God, the forgiveness of sin, and the filling of the Spirit. And in his words, in that night, in that church, 1738 Aldersgate. If you want to Google that, it's a pretty good story too. Aldersgate, 1738, John Wesley said, "And I felt strangely warmed as the Spirit of God come into him and began to change him." And that's when he became the man of God that I just described. 45,000 sermons, 250,000 miles on horseback, tens of thousands of people coming to Christ. I tell you all this, why? I tell you this about Nicodemus, or about John Wesley, or about us sitting in church today, or sitting outside of church. It's not about religion. It's not about going through the motions. Yeah, I got to church today, preacher. Check that off the list. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a relationship with God the Father through faith in God the Son that is so real, it changes us. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about being born again. Jesus was looking to Nicodemus and saying to Nicodemus, "Are you willing to surrender everything to me, the Son of God?" not a religious checklist, but to Jesus. And I fear, friends, I fear this because I read, I talk to people, I see there are a lot of folks, even in church today, that need to hear the words of Jesus. You must be born again and respond. I'm not trying to be judgmental, and forgive me if it sounds like it. I am trying to enlighten us to what Jesus said. He said to the religious guy that had the credentials, Nicodemus, you're not even close to ready until you've been spiritually reborn. You will see with new eyes. You will hear with new ears. You will have a different heart when you have been spiritually reborn. And so I do not say this to condemn. I say this because I fear many in and out of the church are going through the religious motions using the argument, well, I believe in God, Jim. I'm a pretty good person. And they haven't understood the spiritual rebirth that Jesus is talking about. And so I decided I needed to step back and insert this in, because if we're going to follow Jesus, if we collectively, and I hope that is our desire, not only of ours, but millions in America and billions more around the world, I hope it is our desire to follow Jesus. We can't do that until we've been born again. So let me, in these last couple minutes, tell us how. Then we'll close in our last song. It's all about faith. I think that we know the Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. We know that, some of us. We know that. For by grace are you saved through faith. Boy, you're going to have to pick up your Bibles, brothers and sisters. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is gift of God. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can't work our way there. It's the grace of God and our faith. So what does faith mean? I think faith is a three-part equation. That's my own personal thinking. But within that faith equation, there are three parts. Repentance, believing, John 3:16, and receiving, John 1:12. There's something about repentance. Jesus talked about it, preached on it. John the Baptist preached about repentance. Peter, remember that when he addressed the multitude, some of the first things he said was, repent! Paul talked about it. There's something about this idea of repentance, which means I recognize I am a sinner headed one way and I need a Savior to head the other way. There's something about repentance that's necessary for our salvation. So I believe that repentance is part of that faith equation. Father God, forgive me. I know I've been doing things my own way. I know Jesus died for my sin. I know His blood was shed on the cross. I thank You for that. Apply that blood to me. I want to repent of all my sin and walk with You. That's repentance. Believing in Him. You see, Nicodemus is so like so many people today. He believed in Him as a man because he saw Him. But he didn't subscribe to Him as God. We have, Charles showed me an article, I mentioned this the other day, we have seminary presidents, we have pastors that do not believe Jesus is the Son of God. It's time, friends, for us to realize the Scripture, what it's saying, and we either got to acknowledge it's true or it ain't. Nicodemus believed in Jesus. He saw Him walk and talk. But he hadn't yet got to that point in believing He is Messiah, Savior, and Lord. And we have to get there. He's not a Messiah. He's not just one of the good old boys from way back when. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. And if He doesn't save me, I'm not saved. That's what we need to believe. And the last part of that faith equation, I believe, is from John 1:12. It's that receiving part. John 1:12 simply says, but as many as received Him. The first chapter of John is talking about Jesus. You've got to understand that. But John writes, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God to those that believed on His name. There's that equation again. Believe and receive equals children. And then He elaborates just a little bit more on that verse when He said, who were born not of blood, that's the first birth again, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. That's the second birth. John talks about it in John chapter 1, verse 12, too. So I believe that faith equation is repentance and believing and receiving Him by faith. Jess, let's get ready to sing this song. And so let me just say this, friends. If we think that going through the religious mechanics of the day is all we need, we're missing a very important message from Jesus. We're missing it, as Nicodemus was. And if we think, well, I made a visit to the altar one time, Jim, and I just said my prayer and I just went back to life. If we think that's all there is to being born again and following Jesus, we're missing it again. When we were born the first time, I'm just guessing, looking out over the crowd, we were probably all between 5 and 10 pounds, somewhere in that range. Amen? That's kind of where we started things. None of you are 5, 10 pounds, no more. Neither am I. That's His point about the spiritual rebirth. We don't stay 5, 10 pounds there either. If we're going to follow, Jesus, we've got to work. We've got to feed on the Word. We've got to spend time in the Word and let it minister to us and nurture us and help us grow. We've got to get involved in a Bible study or accountability group or a mentoring relationship and allow God's people to help us grow. We're not to stay babies. We're to grow. That's the following Jesus part. And so when we have been born that second time, praise God we have the opportunity, because we'll only die once, then we'll be with Jesus forever. I say hallelujah. But if we're never born the second time, we will die twice and we will never be in eternity with God. And so I'm asking us, friends, this morning, while we're singing this song that sings and says, it is well with my soul, I'm asking you, is it well with your soul? Have you experienced the second birth? Have you been born again? Young and old alike, it doesn't matter if I've been in church all my life, if I'm a member and everything else. If I haven't been born again, according to what Jesus told Nicodemus, I'm missing the most important part of life. That's that spiritual rebirth. Have you peace in your heart, joy in your soul, because you've been born again? And if not, or you're wondering, I'm not sure, Jim, Marie is here, Charles is here, I'm here, we'd love to pray with you. While we're singing this song, you come up, we'll pray with you. Remember that faith equation that he was calling Nicodemus to: repent, believe, and receive Him as Messiah and Lord by faith. We'll help you with that if you want to. So let's stand together and sing this song, It Is Well With My Soul. And I hope and pray that it is well with yours. And if it's not, let us help you with that today. Let's sing together. I want to invite us to closing prayer and to say this, that I'm going to ask Marie and Charles, both pastors, to stay up front just for a minute or two. If you would like to come forward and pray with one of them, if you would like to ask questions about being born again, please don't delay, friends. People die every day, every single day. Some are ready, some are not. If you haven't got peace in your soul, if you haven't been born again, and you died today, according to what Jesus said, never going to see the kingdom of heaven. So spend a little time with Marie or Charles if you're not sure. And trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord today, before it's too late. before it's eternally too late. Please see them or get right with God in the quiet of your own home today. Get right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Repent, believe, and receive, and allow Him to change you and mold you and lead you in this journey that He says, come follow me. Let's pray. Eternal God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that are there. And I know sometimes it's looked at as hate-filled, bigoted, and all kinds of stuff. And yet out of your great love for us, you sent Jesus. And all you ask of us in return is to surrender our hearts and lives to Jesus, to commit to follow Jesus, and as Jesus said to Nicodemus, to be born again. And you will help us with that. Your Spirit will bring us. Your Spirit will enable us. Your Spirit will convict us. Your Spirit will guide us. You're not going to leave us alone. You told us that. And so you will help us with this journey. And so I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us all we need if we will embrace the cross and Christ, receive Him by faith, turn from our sin, and follow Jesus. You'll help us every step of the way. And so again, I pray, Father, for each and every person here, that you would guide, heal, strengthen, and where conviction is necessary, convict, that we might repent, come clean, you already know it anyway, and be born again. And not only for us that are standing here today, but for millions of Americans and billions around the globe, that we would be born again into the family of God. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.